Welcome to the Waffle Shop podcast with me, Taylor James. This is the podcast that gets people waffling about their mental health, coping mechanisms, life's minor inconveniences, and the music that soundtracks it all. So join me as I open up shop and have a waffle.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to the brand new series of the Waffle Shop podcast.
Brand new home.
Brand new home.
Brand new person.
Brand new person. that's not multiple voices you're hearing. It's actually it's Luke.
Hello.
If you've listened to the recap episode from last year, which I'm hoping you have, you may have heard that Luke will be joining me for the journey, I guess.
Yeah.
Now, going forward.
I know. I think the moment before you click record, just then it was like, new start.
Few minute.
No, for you. Like, it was a new place.
I know, it's overwhelming.
It was a little bit, actually, it's just like for a
even
brief second.
Showing people around the studio, like, and because I get to tell the story of how it started, which is obviously quite special for me, because I still have that whole feeling of almost like imposter syndrome of like, I can't believe, like, people are believing me. But it's like, I'm believing me now,
which is
what didn't used to happen.
And then it shows other people, like, want to be part of you because you're the one showing them and believing them. But it's a bit weird, isn't it? Because I see you showing people around. It's like showing people your home. It's like, you want to use my home, but it's my home. So just know that, like, this I do my podcast. Yeah.
You take your shoes off at the door.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm still doing therapy. Like, I'm absolutely loving, like, where this is taking me at the moment. But one of the things that really kind of came out of the session last night was around social anxiety. Now, I don't think I'm alone in feeling like every room that I go into, I feel like automatically people don't like me or people don't, you know, like, warm to me as that easy. And I kind of came to the conclusion in therapy that it was kind of because I didn't want to be there in the first place. Mm. It's not because that I'm not wanted there. It's actually a me thing.
Yeah.
It's because I don't want to be there.
So you're trying to talk yourself of getting out.
And I feel like it's been very apparent, especially the kind of the past 6 months that I've had, is that I was constantly trying to force myself to sit at tables that I didn't want to sit at. Mm. And it was almost kind of, I got to the bottom of it in therapy and like having more of a conversation about it. But it came down to it being a survival technique. Because I was kind of in like family situations or even social situations that I had this real craving of like trying to fit in, trying to be liked. And so I felt like I had to go to these places. I had to be in these circles.
Right.
I had to be around those kind of like family members. I didn't want to be.
Yeah.
But it was like what I needed to do to survive.
Yeah. So what spaces do you want to be in?
But that's the thing. I've never had the luxury of asking myself that.
Right.
So this is why it's so quite...
you've been forced into situations like, I just don't like
it. But and that's not saying people have forced me to... I think it's been me who's forced myself into these situations thinking that, okay, well, that's what I need to do to be liked.
Right, okay.
Whereas it didn't really suit me in the long run, you know, and I'm a very kind of open person now when it comes to kind of like my time about, you know, if I don't want to do something, I'm not going to feel guilty for not wanting to do that. Like, so if it is a no, it's a no. And I'm hoping anyone who's listened to this, who's in a situation where, you know, they might be falling into that kind of people pleaser kind of like mentality, like, you don't have to do it if you don't want to.
It's me.
And if they do have an issue with you not doing it, it's their issue.
Yeah, that people pleaser is a problem, has been a problem of mine, I think, because especially last year, I say yes to most things, but one of my things this year, goals, is to default with a no.
Yeah.
And I think saying yes, I think realised last year that it doesn't just detriment me and me running around everywhere, it detriments the family that are at home, because I'm saying yes to things that they're not involved in, and then I'm taking away from time that I'd be with them.
I don't know if you've seen this, but Madonna did a show at Madison Square Garden recently, and she turned up 2 hours late.
Yeah.
The show was supposed to start at 8:30. She turned up at 10:30. People in the crowd have now filed a lawsuit against her. They're suing her because of the knock-on effect about them not being able to get home. Like, they affected their working day, like, the day after. And I kind of, to be fair, I wanted to ask now, like, would you have waited?
Probably not. No. Well, again, logistics. So that they're always...
this is what I mean.
On my mind. But if you've got to get a train home, or you got parents looking after the kids, like, and you're meant to be back at like 11 o'clock, which is touch and go. But if you're going to be back at 1, it's Madonna's fault.
Exactly. Sorry, Madonna was late. I was late. But it was interesting because I was like, oh, yeah.
That's a good point.
I was like, if I was in the moment, I probably would have waited. But then I was like, I would have been knackered the day after. Like, anything past like 10:30 now, I'm like...
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Also, your energy would have been sapped by the time that she came on stage.
Exactly. And when it comes to like going to gigs anyway, it's like, well, when do I go? You have to like strategically go to the toilet, strategically go to the bar.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you have to do all these things strategically because you don't want to miss the start. You don't want to miss your favourite song.
Yeah. I guess it would depend if they were keeping the crowd updated. She's going to be 2 hours late.
Yeah.
People would have known what to do. But like, if you don't know, you're kind of like, I don't want to leave. I paid this ticket. So it depends on that as well.
I want to tell you about something that I did recently that I think you've done it before, but I think you're a fan of. I went back to one of those flotation tanks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And obviously the first time I went, there was a power cut, so I actually got stuck in it.
Oh, my God. Float therapy for the audience. Float therapy. Go back to that. the first time.
The first time I went, it was, to fair, the place is an empty. It's incredible. It's called Sparflow. Check it out. I had an incredible massage. I had a infrared sauna. Then I had the float tank.
Oh, you went for everything.
Yeah, like, I'm not pissing around.
Pick and mix.
Yeah. And it was incredible, incredible experience. But then someone had to knock on the door and was like, there's been a power cut. But obviously you get earplugs, so I couldn't hear a thing. So I was like, I don't know if I can hear something. Like, something's tapping. But it wasn't. It was the guy to tell me there's a power cut. So I had to kind of like get out. It was almost like being born again, because it was like pitch black. Not that I remember being born the first time. But like, I had to like crawl out, obviously, because it only opened a certain way. Obviously, you go in, you kind of like, you're naked. And it was just a weird experience. But I loved it.
I think as well, because I don't think it's a common practice in the UK. I think it's more popular in the US.
Oh.
So for a lot of people, they probably won't know what float therapy is.
Yeah.
And just to explain it, because I want to hear more about this story, it's like a big like egg shape that's open.
Yeah.
And you're not completely naked. You have swimming shorts, unless you went completely naked.
Oh, no, I went.
Did you? Go completely nuts?
Yeah.
Oh, fair play.
They tell you to. Do they?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, you go in naked.
No, I didn't, but I imagine that'd be quite a nice sensation, because it's salt water, isn't it? And it's not. So it's really weird. So
it's
again,
like, it's like that mint.
The mint tea shower. Gets you. But so it's a big egg, and then you get in it, and it's not got much water in you, and it's filling up, and you're like, well, so it's called float therapy. So you're like, how am I going to float in that? So it's loads of salt water. You get in it, and everything goes black. There's lights on at first, a little bit of music, yeah. So like it dims you down, and then you close it. Did you fully close it?
Yeah.
That's
same. Full like sensory deprivation.
Yeah, exactly. But you do float, don't you? You have that little like airport airplane,
the halo
neck cushion, yeah, which I do use, and you lie there for an hour with no senses at all. The way I describe it is it's like meditation, sleep, and a spa mixed into.
I wouldn't fall asleep in that. Although they did say.
Did you fall asleep in that?
No. What it did do to me though, like my mind is too chaotic.
Yeah.
And it made it very, very apparent that how chaotic.
That's the whole point of it, though, isn't it?
And the first time, like I really threw myself into it. Like I really kind of.
Dived?
No. I don't think you could.
No, it's too shallow.
No, don't do that, actually. I really kind of like got something out of it. Mm. Like I really enjoyed it. The second time I went, which was quite recent, I started to see lights.
Do you know the reasons for this?
Well, I didn't until because I was a bit cautious about saying, like, I was in this flotation tank, I was seeing like these blue and kind of like purple lights. And I didn't want to say anything because I thought they're going to think I'm an absolute weirdo and cart me out of the shop. But I mentioned it, and she was saying, like, yeah, it's like your aura. I was like, oh, Peter. <I'm not joking. laughs> and then I kind of, like, went through, and obviously the blue aura is, like, your throat aura, and it was, like good communicator and, like, emotional, like, creative, all these kind of things. Like, I was doing, like, a bit of a deep dive into it. I was like...
Did you know what purple was?
No.
I think that's healing.
Oh, need that. It's really interesting. And this is what, like, I feel like I'm on the right path again now, because I started to explore different kind of ways of kind of looking after myself, like my body, my mental health, which obviously led to like the podcast and like various other experiences.
It's like broadening now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, I genuinely was like, oh, wow. Okay, this is a thing now. And it genuinely blew my mind. And then I was doing like more of a deep dive, and it was kind of really opening up, I guess, to that kind of new world of...
It is a little bit spiritual awakening.
Spirituality kind of side of things. Yeah.
I wouldn't call myself spiritual, but I do like...
Your name's Luke. Why would you call yourself spiritual?
Yeah, silly. But I do love the whole wellness aspect, and I share stuff on Instagram. That's not my own post, but the stuff I like to share. And there was one the other day that was like a battery full... a battery half and a battery empty, and it said you need rest here, and it pointed at the middle one.
Yeah,
because when you get to the bottom of the low battery, it's too late, you're burnt out. But that was the day before I had my little wellness day yesterday, where I would have liked to have done something like you did, but I had like some other work bits to do. So I think why I didn't do that is because it completely cut myself off from everything. Did you do it on a Sunday?
Yeah.
What a great day to do it.
It resets you up for the week.
Yeah, that's a great day to do it, and you don't have work on your mind.
Yeah,
as a like a default. But yeah, yesterday I went to a health club, got there at 7. I worked out, had a swim, sauna, steam room, back to the steam room, and then I was ready at 9 o'clock. So I came back out into like the cafe part, and then I had kind of like 5 or 6 things I wanted to do that were like for me in the business, not for clients, not editing, not this, not that. And I did them by like 11:30. So I didn't actually need that much time. So I thought I needed to be there all day. And then I got to like 11:30. I was like, these are ideas that we've been talking about. And I just had my headphones in. I had playlist, I think it was called Butter, which gives you the type of vibe.
Smooth.
I was on. Smooth. I feel a little bit recharged. My thoughts aren't so far behind what I've got to do day to day. They're up to speed. Mm. And I wouldn't have done that last year. What are you before?
I think we need more of it this year.
100%.
Yeah, more self-care.
100%. More 100% more self-care.
Look at us, two lads doing self-care.
Self-care.
I wanted to tell you about another situation that I had. And I don't really talk about the whole kind of like love life situation on the show. But I feel like, you know, this is a new direction of the Waffle Shop.
Funnily enough, I was going to ask you if you told your partner that you love them today. I was going to ask you that.
No, don't do those kind of things.
You don't do them?
No.
Are you telling me not to?
I feel, you know what's weird? I feel comfortable talking about it on the podcast, but face to face, vile.
Yeah, I guess for you, you've now created your safe space with a podcast and it's got context.
Yeah.
Out there, it might be like,
no.
Why are you talking to me about that?
Exactly. Just like and subscribe. You want to know how I feel? There. Yeah. So I just sit there like, leave them on a cliffhanger. It's like, this isn't how life works. Like, your life isn't a podcast.
No. So where are you at with it?
But no, it's good. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm having a good time. It's great. Like, yeah. Kind of thing. But I had a situation. So on my self-care day, so I had my spa flow. And obviously when you come out of those kind of things, like the flotation tanks, you can be feeling like a little bit, woo, you know, you're kind of floating. In a good place. You're floating.
Yeah, yeah.
Like bouncing around Leamington. I was feeling great. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to go and buy myself a new book. And I feel like, and I don't know if this is the thing, but there was a bit of... It's not even funny. There was a moment in the bookshop where I was just browsing the books and there was a little bit of a, oh, you're in the bookshop too? And I was like, yeah. I didn't know the person. There was just a bit of a vibe with someone else who was looking for books.
And they said, oh, you're in the bookshop too?
No, they didn't. Oh. No, that was my brain. Oh, right. Thinking out loud. Obviously, we both stood there in Waterstones. Like, and I thought it was quite a weird thing to happen. And then I got like a little bit of a, not butterflies as in like, oh, wow, like this is, I've just met the love of my life in a bookshop. I shouldn't be saying this.
Yeah, no.
But I mean, they don't listen to the podcast anyway. Yeah, it was a bit of a moment like, oh, look at you being all...
Booky.
And then I was like, oh, maybe they're thinking the same about me. And it was just like a bit of an awkward, like,
you're
interaction.
You had a kindred spirit moment.
Yeah. And I was like, oh.
You were all up in your spirits like, yeah. Coming out of spa flow.
I don't know if it was the Epsom salt or, or there was a vibe there.
Or the fact that you were in there naked.
Yeah, but it was, yeah, still wearing the halo.
Have I had moments like that?
But there was something. Like, but to say, now I'm saying it out loud, it probably was the salt.
Yeah, the spirits.
But there was a vibe there. Yeah. And I don't know. I wanted to say, because I don't know if I'm actually going mad or if I was making it up. Or
how often do you go into bookshops?
No, yeah, not often.
Yeah, so you probably just felt like...
Well, it's normally an Amazon job.
Yeah.
And I was there, I had like my Starbucks. I was like looking at like the books, like, oh, well, what's going to be like, you know, what do I want to learn about kind of thing. And it was very much like...
You felt new.
Yeah, I felt like I was in like a Twilight film, yeah. Actually, now I'm kind of saying it out loud. Speaking of books, obviously, mm-hmm. We're a big fan. We're kind of getting into that kind of like whole, you know, self-development kind of like stage now of like our lives. But one of the questions that my journal actually prompted me to answer the other day, and I skipped it because I didn't know what it was, but it was like, if there was a book written about your life, what would the last line be?
Whore.
Whore?
No, that's a whore question.
Oh, I thought you were calling me a whore.
I mean, that could quite whore. Be a whore. What the last line of your book been?
Bookshops.
Is this last line of your book, like, to date, or last line of your life type thing?
Maybe of your life.
Oh, I guess you don't know that, because that's literally what the word says. So,
well, I guess it'd have to be so far.
Yeah, because, yeah, you don't know. Do you know what yours is? I know, because you turned the page, but have you thought about it?
Yeah, and it's been kind of going over and over in my head.
That would always be evolving, though, if it's like the, like, at that. But I guess that's what journal entries are. It's like your entry at that point.
At that point.
So last line of the book. Go on, you share yours.
I think if I was to answer that question now, like currently where I'm at, like mentally, even just like in my life in general, I think my last line of the book would be, I'm so grateful you didn't give up.
Ah, nice. Yeah.
I think that's, at this moment in time, that's what it would be.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nice. And with it being a book as well, you're trying to think of something like that's actually good literature. I think mine would be, keep trusting the building blocks that you're placing type of thing.
I don't know if we're doing this right. Because are we dead at this point?
No. Well, not based on what we just said.
Well, obviously, we're not dead.
No, because it's the last line of your book. No, because it depends what the book is.
Yeah, because Stephen Barlow isn't dead and he's got loads of books.
Yeah. Well, okay, so it's two different answers then, isn't it, really?
Yeah, okay, so if this was an autobiography, like it's in front of you, you're no longer here, what would you want the last line of your autobiography to be?
Okay, Luke, has left a legacy of not just a company, but a feeling.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
As in, hopefully everyone who knew me or interacted with me would know what that was like.
That's powerful.
Warm.
Yeah.
Kind.
I think I'd put my last line of my autobiography would be, I told yours poorly.
Drop some comedy on them. Would it really be that?
I think it'd have to be something funny. I think, you know, there's two sides of me. There's a side of me that I don't really kind of like showcase as much on this podcast because I kind of focus on those kind of like those meaningful conversations. But I think if it was an autobiography, I think it would be like, I mean, I'm grateful that I didn't give up on myself and that I'm giving myself a chance now. But I think it would have to be like a comedic kind of sign off.
Yeah, yeah. No, I like the idea of leaving it with like a funny.
Or I'd leave coordinates. That's what I'd do. I would leave coordinates.
So what, a Portaloo?
Why a Portaloo?
Like, what would you leave it to? Be your pot of gold that you potted?
Yeah, I actually didn't think that bathroom.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's time for
Sing It, Sack It. Is it hit or are they talking shit?
This is one of my favorite parts of the show. Obviously, this I invented it, so I'm gonna love it. But obviously, this is the part of the show where I dissect lyrics, get your opinion, see what you think. This one at the moment, I actually heard this in the shower. It's one of those songs that I was about to say if no one was looking, but obviously, no one should be looking if you're in the shower.
I don't listen to songs in the shower.
Don't you?
I get scared of the moisture going in the phone.
I'm so glad there's no video. Oh no, there is a video now. Please don't do this on this show. But the song this week that I kind of wanted to get your opinion on the lyrics was big song Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls. Okay. I'm not going to sing it, but the lyrics go, and I don't want the world to see me because I don't think they'd understand when everything's meant to be broken. I just want you to know who I am.
Yeah, great.
I mean, off the hat, I'm going to sing it straight away. But I wanted to get your opinion on this because do you think that there's been moments of your life that you kind of, you didn't want the world to see?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because it's maybe a temporary, like, person dealing with, like, a particular moment. Yeah. That's not what I should... not what I want to be remembered for, nor should I be, because that's just a period of time. Mm. So it depends on where the spotlight is in your life. And I can think of a few moments that I'll be like, that's not who I am.
Yeah.
So please don't judge me on that particular moment.
Yeah. See, I don't know if I'm the kind of the opposite of that with this.
This is why
lyric. Yeah. Because I think the first kind of almost 30 years of my life, I didn't want the world to see me, like the real me.
Yeah, I guess. Oh, okay, so that's flipped.
Yeah, because one, I didn't know who the hell I was.
Yeah.
But two, it goes back to that whole kind of like survival thing I was saying at the start of the show. I was in a situation of like, you know, caring for people and kind of going above and beyond it's a situation that I didn't want to be in. But I did that to try and survive, to try and fit in. And I think it was a case of like, I didn't want the world to see me because of who they are. They wouldn't understand me or my feelings or my needs. The one thing I don't agree with is when everything's meant to be broken, because I don't think everything is meant to be broken.
No.
You know, like things like trust, like hearts and stuff like that. Like, yeah. I mean, you know, it's incredible growth tactics, you know, when, you know, you are, when you do get your heart broken or trust is broken.
No, but if it does, when everything's meant to be broken, I want you to understand who I am. So you're still the same person.
I just got a goosebump when you said that. Yeah, I did.
These are great lyrics because, and it's all about perception because we've just listed off two very different views of what that could do. But yeah, if you're heartbroken or your trust is broken, still know who I am.
Yeah.
Or if my heart's broken, still know that I'm the same person. Or if I broke your heart, I'm still the same.
Or even if you would go, I'd go as far as saying like when everything's meant to be broken. There was multiple times last year when I was like, at rock bottom, like broken.
Can't fix yourself if you're not broken.
I just want you to know who I am. And it's that kind of like, I'm still Taylor. I'm still that person.
That must really resonate with you.
Yeah, like I didn't actually realize. Like I wish you could kind of see how I, like my, the arms on my hairs are standing up.
You're filling up a bit. Yeah, not in your eyes, it's going up your...
I wrote this off the cuff, this one. Because I heard it this morning, I thought that it's been going around. But until I've read it out and spoke to you about it, I didn't realise just how much it resonated with me. Oh, God, this is going to be one of those ones I'm going to have to add to the cry list.
Your song?
Yeah.
And I messaged you, didn't I?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I nearly did in the podcast when we did it before. So it's the same song, The Chance of Rap. No, it wasn't.
Kahan.
Yeah.
I think I said that right.
Yeah.
Stick Season.
Stick Season it is. So I don't know the song very well. It's cropped up on a couple of playlists that I listen to. And I love it. I turned it up. But then Kasha spoke about something with Ava in like a moment and it just walloped me. But like, because I like the song, it's very like atmospheric and powerful. She said it and I was just like, what the hell? And then it was about Ava and like the moment that I came home after her birth. But I came home by myself because they were still there. And I remember how I felt when I got home. And then that song was playing and it was just like, I proper sobbed. Proper sobbed. So now, like you say, when I listen to that song now, it'll be a different feeling that I feel. But also play it loud still. Like,
give it
all you got.
It's like a greatest hits though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I feel like those kind of moments are building like a greatest hits album for us, that when it gets to like the time, you know, when we are writing our autobiographies, when we haven't got long left, those songs are going to take us right back to those years, those emotions, those feelings.
It's a roadmap, isn't it?
Good, bad. Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah.
God, what an episode. Thank you for joining me for a waffle.
Loved it.
If you like what you've heard,
share it.
What am I trying to say? If you have enjoyed the podcast, this is all new to me. I've never done this before. Subscribe to it. You know, let me know what you think. Get in touch. Give me a review. Yeah, hope you've enjoyed it. Get in touch. We'd love to hear like what's pissed you off this week, and or even what songs have soundtracked your week, the good, the bad, the ugly. Let me know. And I will see you next week. You just headbutt the microphone.
Yeah, that really hurt.
That's a bit odd thing to do.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
You've been listening to the Waffle Shop podcast with me, Taylor James. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and even leave a review. It means the world to me. See you soon.